The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and your chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, be with you all. Y'all did much better than 7:30 Mass. Like the response. Let us offer one another the sign of peace. Go ahead. I know it's Catholic Church, but turn to the person to your left or right. How about a sign of peace? You know? It's okay. No, it's good to do that because sometimes we get in our Catholic mode, which is okay, and we get here and we kind of get to our pew like I did growing up, and we kind of get there, we file on in there, and like, all right, here I am, let's focus, right? But we're a communion here. We're a communion here at St. Gabriel's. We're a communion with the whole church on earth and the church in heaven, and Christ is the King. And there's a particular one in this parish that maybe not everybody knows, but Virginia, I want to wish you a happy 99th birthday. 99th birthday. No, Virginia. 99. I can see it in your eyes. The peace of Christ is there, right? How beautiful it is. 99 years of life. Here you are. Here you are with us worshiping, rending your heart to God. So thank you. Thank you for your witness with your friends from the Carriage Club. And it's always a blessing. I think of the own witness of my grandparents, but thank you. May that peace on this day, knowing you're loved by your entire parish, fill you with the joy that only Jesus can give. So peace, the peace of Christ, the peace of the King of Kings. I don't know if you're familiar with just a little history behind the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. You see, it followed shortly thereafter a time that wasn't a time of great peace. It was following World War I. And it was in 1925 when Pope Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King. And the reason why he instituted this Feast of Christ the Universal King is because he and all the bishops throughout the world, they were starting to see in some way, shape, or form that Jesus Christ was starting to be being thrust out of the hearts of men and women, of boys and girls. Jesus Christ was starting to be thrust out of the public square of nations. And he was being pushed where he really was there and he was the King. And not to say, and I think it's important that we focus on this, just because we follow Jesus Christ, it's not that we're perfect. We're not claiming perfection or that we're righteous. Because Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. But when we acknowledge that we're sinners and that we may have sin in our heart, like something like World War I was, just a train wreck of so many families from multiple nations, a real result of sin, when we recognize that in our heart, our Lord wants to come and he wants to reign in our heart. And sin and the King of Kings cannot reign at the same time. Yet what was happening is people were thrusting Jesus Christ out of their hearts, out of the public square, out of nations. And there were at those times certain ideologies that were starting to come up. I'm just speaking history. and it came with Marxism, communism, and socialism. And why do I speak about those ideologies? Because what they promise is they promise only linear, only this earth, nothing vertical. Do not put your trust in a God. That is, as some of the philosophers would say, that's just kind of the opium of the people. You just kind of like dose yourself down and you don't, you know, feel the pain or whatever. Jesus didn't come. He came to be part of our pain. And so those ideologies were creeping in where it was pretty much all earth. Bring your heaven down here. So I want to show you a quote of Pius XI at the time. He said, as long as individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of our Savior, there would be no really hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among nations. The reality is, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're here because we realize that we need a Savior. This world needs a Savior. And this Savior is not only a Savior, He is a King. He is a King. Yet how many voices are there out in our world that are peddling a different type of peace? That are peddling that you will find your peace in all the technology of the world. I remember growing up with my dad, and when email came out, I was all excited. But my dad said, this is just going to make life harder for us, because I used to like package it up, send the stuff out to California. I'd have a nice weekend with you and the family, you know, with all your, with your mom and every, all my six siblings. And then I come back in the office on Monday and I get the package back from California on Tuesday, and I'd have a rest on a weekend. But instead, the email goes on Friday and they want a response Saturday morning. And so it creates this sense of urgency. Gotta have it. I think it's also fair, too, when we look at social media and those things, there can be a lot of good things out there that can be used. But sometimes, if we're not careful, it can propose a certain type of peace that ultimately, in the long run, is going to leave us empty and rob us of our peace. But I think it's very important to understand the generation of this time, too. Because my niece said to me once, said, you know, Uncle Richard, us millennials, we don't like it when people slam us about our technology. Preach to our desire. We're seeking something. We're going to the technology. We're going to the news. We're going to the media. We're going to all these activities that we got bustling around trying to, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to ultimately seek something. We're trying to seek peace. We're ultimately trying to find that peace. And that's what brings us here, because we know Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, is the answer. He is the answer. And yet when we look at the gospel today, the truth in the flesh, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the truth was on trial. The truth was on trial before Pontius Pilate and the whole mob that was out there, and they were ready to crucify him. And what did Jesus say? He said, my kingdom does not belong to this world. My kingdom does not belong to this world. Pilate, I hear what you're saying. I'm glad you're open, but I'm trying to point you to somewhere even greater. You're not going to find full fulfillment on this earth. My kingdom does not belong to this world. Pilate, out of curiosity, says, are you a king? Jesus says to him, you say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Jesus came to testify to the truth. He is truth. That's why he was born, to bring the truth to the hearts of every single human being who were searching for that. And without the fullness of truth, without truth, there it's hard to find peace. We're wrestling. We're struggling. So he brings his very self. And Jesus says to you and me today, as he said to Pilate then, as he said to the crowd that was ready to crucify him, as he says to all generations, the voice may change, but the word is eternal. Jesus speaks to our heart, and it's his voice through his living word which echoes in our hearts, which echoes with the help of our conscience to guide us as followers of Jesus Christ to bring his peace to our world by the way we live. Jesus said to Pilate, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Sharing your personal story, when I was really struggling, I was wrestling with the truth in my heart. When I was a young man, about 27 years old, working outside of New York City. And the truth was, Jesus was trying to call me in the silence of my life. When I gave him a little bit of silence, he was trying to call me to be his priest. And I was wrestling with it because I didn't want to leave my job. I didn't want to leave what I had. My parents called me and they said, son, you want to go with us to the Holy Land? And I was wrestling. I said, what better place to go and just see if this is authentic, that God's really calling me to leave everything behind and follow him. So I went with my parents to the Holy Land, and we had an amazing experience to watch my parents after many years of marriage, which I had never witnessed. And I was now a young man standing there in Cana and watching them renew their wedding vows. It was beautiful. And then to witness all the holy sites, and then finally we came back to Jerusalem, all excited, like those disciples that were downcast, and they come back, and they want to share the good news with everybody. We were so fired up. It was 1999, getting ready to go in the new millennium of 2000, and we were so excited. We wanted to share Jesus with the world from walking in the same land that Jesus walked in. Raised his hand and said, Franciscan guide, the priest who led us through all the holy sites. He says, what's your question? He says, my question is this: how do we bring peace to the Holy Land? How do we bring peace to the Holy Land? Because we witnessed the Palestinian Christians, like 1% of them being pushed off. We witnessed the Muslims in Bethlehem and the Jews here, and we witnessed changing our flags in the bus because we have the wrong flag going in the wrong city. We're going to get stopped. And it was just, we could feel it. You could cut it. It was so clear the lack of peace that was going on. And our Franciscan guide with just such simplicity and peace, like oozing from his heart, he just said, only one thing's going to bring peace to the Holy Land and to the whole world is when people truly embrace the message of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ that was foreign to people at the time when Jesus arrived, and it can be foreign to people today, and that's forgiveness. Not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You do this to me, I'm gonna get you back here. Forgiveness, to pray for your enemies, to love your enemies, to be able to imitate this type of love. And that's the throne he reigned from to bring peace to the world. But it's startling how in our times there can be this desire to kick Jesus out of schools, kick Jesus out of hearts, kick Jesus out of cities, out of nations. You know why? Because it's the same father of lies, the same devil with his demons who's working, because Jesus Christ loves the heart of every single human being walking this earth. He loves them passionately. Even those that who we may see, who somehow do something wrong, who somehow deserve it. They should have this. Jesus Christ is like, no, they don't deserve that. I took that for them. I went to the cross for them. They deserve my love. And will you be an instrument of my love? Will you be an instrument of my peace? Will you be an instrument of my joy? That's what he's crying out to us Christians in these times. Be an example of me. Be an example of me. Voice. Do I hear the voice of Jesus during my week? Do I hear him? Amidst all the other noise, do I take just a wee bit of time, maybe to pick up scripture? Here's the challenge. I'm coming to the landing. I'm finishing. Okay? The homily's coming to an end. But what doesn't come to the end is this King who loves us and wants to reign in our heart. He wants to give himself to you, no matter where you are. If you're here visiting for the first time and you've never been to a Catholic Mass, I hope you feel like Virginia feels when you leave from here. I hope you have the peace in your heart that Virginia has in her peace in her heart. Because to Jesus Christ, all of us are like a Virginia. He loves us. And he desires to give his peace to us. Not to keep it chained up in our hearts, but to share it with those close to us, those who we don't even know, with those in our city and those who may not agree with us, like us, treat us the way we think we need to be treated. He wants us to bring his peace to this world. What a gift it is we roll into Thanksgiving this Thursday. And what a gift it is, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have somewhere to offer our thanks. Because if we did not believe in God, who would we thank beyond ourselves? So it's my prayer this Thanksgiving week that all of us, as we gather with family, friends, and we truly pray for peace in this world. And we commit to Jesus to be instruments of that peace. By opening our heart to him, letting him speak to us, and letting his voice guide our steps. It's going to be loving one person at a time and bringing his peace to one person at a time that'll change this world. Amen.